And Brianna, and you're listening to TD Radio, brought to you by TeenDiaries.net. It's Monday, April 20th, 2015. It's 9 p.m. in New York City, and tonight we're discussing goal digging, right? I want to make sure I say that clearly because all my parents call this up like, hey, why are you trying to teach my daughter how to be a goal digger? No, goal digging. Okay. All right. What are goal diggers, you ask? Well, and they're goal-oriented people out to get whatever they really want through drive and determination. All right. So if you're a goal getter, make sure you hit us up on Twitter at Teen Diaries and let us know. Yeah, we want to shout you out. Not goal diggers. Please don't hit us up.
Yeah, all goal.
Goal. All right?
Yes.
We clear, right? Okay. Whether, you know, pretty much goal diggers, it's simple. You know, whether it be earning good grades, snagging the lead in a school play, or landing a killer internship, goal diggers keep their eyes on the prize and make choices to come out on top. Now, a book I think that everyone, regardless of age, should read is Sean Covey's 7 Habits of Effective Teens. It is incredible. I'm telling you, it will change your life. It will change your life. All right, Moipa and Bri, have you guys even heard of this book?
Maybe the principles, not necessarily like the actual physical book, but the principles, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree with Bri, yeah.
Well, there's two versions of it. Actually, there's one, you know, there's a version for teens and a version for adults. I say that whether you are an adult or a teen, just get the teen version because it's the same principles, but it's just written a lot, you know, I guess it's an easier read, but it really relates to the current times because the book was, you know, written more recently, like in the digital age. So it kind of touches on, you know, the digital struggle people go through. So yeah, definitely get the teen version. I think it's awesome, and it will definitely have you rethinking some of your actions, and maybe see how you are not being effective in life, and maybe why there have been, you know, several roadblocks when it comes to your success. All right, so basically the book, it outlines our private and public victories in the form of practice tasks that eventually become habits. The first habit deals with being proactive and taking responsibility for your own life, all right? So in what ways can those who aren't as independent begin to take more initiative, especially as they journey through their teenage years?
I think first you have to have something you want to do. Like, for instance, if you want to do music, then you need to be singing. That's the first thing. There's a lot of people that say they want to do stuff, but they're never doing at least the starting process. You know what I mean? It's like if you want to play basketball, our coach used to say, if you want to play basketball, then I should, as a person that wants to play ball, I should always have a basketball in my hand. Like pretty much 9 times out of 10, if that's what I really want to do, I should be playing basketball. I should be dribbling, doing whatever, just little things. So you take that a step further. If it's being I want to be a doctor, then I need to be, you know, looking at doctors, reading, Googling, what can I do? It's like the first step is always trying to find out what you want to do and then start looking at that and trying to do it. It's not immediately just jump into it, but you're at least making the baby steps. And I think a lot of times we don't do that. We'll just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, I definitely say you should, and along with the lines of, like, figuring out what you want to do, I would definitely say to not let anyone else figure that out for you. I know sometimes parents, I've seen, like, my childhood friends growing up, their parents wanted them to be doctors and lawyers, and in turn, they really wanted to just be that musician and practice the craft. And so, you know, in the long run, it kind of hurt them a little bit, you know, practicing something that they didn't really want to do. And then they realize, you know, hey, this is my life. I'm going to live it for myself. I'm going to do music now. So in their eyes, they're playing a little bit of a catch-up. But I would definitely say to not let anyone decide for you, even if it is your parents. So, yeah, I would definitely say that.
Yeah, I can agree with you more. You definitely have to, you know, kind of define who you are, you know, pick a talent. And sometimes people make talent so concrete. They're like, either I got to be, my talent has to be, you know, athletics, or it has to be that I'm a great singer, or it has to be, you know what I mean? But sometimes your talent could be something, you know, that isn't for the masses. It could be just that you know how to fold clothes really fast. Who knows? You know what I mean? You never know what your talent is, but you have to kind of figure out what
really,
that thing
really
is.
Fast.
I mean, you'd be the best sales employee ever.
Old clothes.
Hey, whatever it is, you'd be the best at it. And the only way that you could be the best at whatever your talent is, you have got to practice. You know, Michael Jordan did not become the best basketball player. I hate to keep going to basketball, but it's like you have to practice. You can't, you know, just have a goal and then think that magically you're going to reach success. Like, you have to work for it. You have to put in the work. All right. Now, yeah, totally. The first habit also includes establishing a value system. Now, what would you all consider to be guiding principles in your lives, and how do you keep yourself accountable in regards to upholding them?
Ooh, guiding principles in my life. Honesty. So I'm going to be honest by letting you know that I'm not necessarily sticking to those guiding principles. So honesty is definitely one of the top ones on my list. It just sets the stage for everything along the line. Because, you know, when you're lying, or, you know, you're cheating yourself, you have to, you know, work twice as hard, you know, keep that going. So honesty is definitely on the top of my list, as well as I always say this all the time. What did I say? I tweeted different ways all the time, but say a prayer for patience and practice perseverance. So I'm a fan of alliteration as well. I don't know, journalism major. But I always tell myself to do those things, and then everything will fall in line eventually. So honesty, patience, perseverance, all that stuff.
Okay. What about you?
Well, you said one thing that kind of stuck with me. I've always believed in that core system that hard work is going to pay off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I always feel like, have I put in the work to really reap the benefits? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, dang, we keep saying basketball. Let's give something else. Okay, let's just say singing.
Golf.
So I sing.
Another sport.
So I sing. Welcome to TD Radio. Weber sings. So, and I think that a lot of people think that it's just a gift, and there's no work, there's no practice at it. But it's a constant. It's constant practice. If I, you know, I had a wedding I had to do this past weekend, and I had to sing, and I was studying the song like I didn't know how to sing. I was singing it, making sure I hit the notes right, practicing. I recorded myself because that's just me. I don't want to look bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want, when my name is attached to anything, like, hey, Mo came through the wedding, man, and sounded like chicken scratching and something. You know, I don't want that. I don't want to sound like, you know, baby seals being clubbed. I want, I'm saying, no, serious. I want people to be like, man, he killed it. He's saying. And whatever capacity it is, if it's a gospel song, I want people to be like, oh, man, I thought Jesus was in the room. If it's an R&B song, I want people to be like, man, I almost threw my drawers at him. Whatever it is, I want to be – no, I'm being for real. I know that sounds like a joke, but I'm being serious. I want to be the best at whatever it is that I'm trying to do. And I'm comfortable with knowing that I did try. So I keep myself in check knowing – at the end that I put in the work. So if the song sucked and I, you know, did not kill it or whatever, I hold myself accountable to say whether or not I really did put in the work. Because nine times out of ten, if I put in the work, I come out cool.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. What about you?
When it comes to guiding principles, I think I'm always trying to be my best self, you know, honest with others, honest with myself. I think it really starts with, you know, being honest with yourself and loving yourself and being prideful when it comes to being independent. So those are definitely my guiding principles, and I'm just a hard worker. So for me, you know, to make myself accountable, I'm always very vocal about whatever my plans are, what I'm going to do. I'm always seeking, you know, guidance, you know, advice. I'm always, you know, writing things down, because when you write things down, you put it out into the universe, and you
yeah.
tend to, you know,
do
make
that.
Them
I need to do that.
It. Totally.
I've always
totally.
Heard people say that.
No, it's so true. I'm going to tell you a story. So as a teenager, I'm the only child by my dad and my mom. So, you know, and my dad, you know, I was raised by him when I was living in Tennessee. So I didn't really have any other siblings around me. So I had a lot of free time, like when I wasn't hanging with my friends. So I would always, like, write things down. I would write down the lyrics to I would watch music videos and even write down the lyrics to songs. I was too bored. Lord help me. I
man.
Okay. But
wow.
One of
I mean, look, you can be a personal transcriber. You
I could, geez. Actually. I have skills. I got skills. So I would write down, like, what I could see myself doing in the future, who my husband was going to be. I would actually, like, drew the floor plan of what my house was going to look like. I mean, every single thing. I knew my husband was going to be tall, and he is. I thought he was going to play basketball, but he's not, but he still does something pretty incredible. And the house that I drew at that age, I mean, it is really, really, really very close to the house that I live in now. So it's almost scary when you kind of, like, set intentions for yourself in life. Mm-hmm. You kind of put yourself on a path to get there. It's just, like, no way around it. It's like you're writing your own history. You just have to commit. You know what I mean? So I definitely tell.
So I should have been at a time when I was your about your age. I should have been drawing a red bone. Dancer, actress.
What?
No, Lord.
Slash, start off an R&B group, then went solo. I'm just saying, you just say everything you did. I mean, from the husband, you pretty much, you got your, you said since the time you was a kid, you got your Crayola out, and you were drawing, and you drew your husband in your house, and all these great things, and you have it. So is it? So you're saying pretty much, for everybody out there that's listening, people mm-hmm. need to really be drawing what they want.
You have to
I agree with it, though.
Am
I
right?
I really do agree with it. That's the plan. Mm-hmm. That's the plan. I always, aside from writing things down, I don't know, people are always like, oh, don't tell people your business and your plans. They might, you know, be Debbie Downers, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm a fan of talking to close confidants, close friends, my best friend, you know. I'm comfortable with telling her, you know, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And if I don't follow through with it, you know, she's always there to keep me accountable as well. You know, she'll always remind me in a friendly way, like, didn't you say you were going to do this? Like, what happened with that? Like, can I help you in any way? So I also think that's what real friends are there for, aside from family, to really push you to do what you want to do in your life. So I like that.
Oh, that's another good key. Now, we talked about, you know, staying true and upholding your goals and your values and your principles, but how important is it to have a mentor to help you with that process? Because like you just said, like, I mean, even a friend could even be a mentor, right? So she, like, was like, hey, girl, didn't you say you was going to do
right. Get on it.
Exactly. Right. So, yeah, how important do you have a mentor? Like, do you really need one?
I think mentors are super important. And mentors don't necessarily have to be, well, I think it is good if they're in the field or in the thing that you want to do. But also mentor to me is just someone that is always encouraging you or whatever. Like, just,
right.
you know, that has, that pretty much is a go-getter. I do, my dad always used to say, you know, tell me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. So if you hang
mm-hmm.
around a bunch of, you know, nothing, I hate to say nothing people, people that are not, let's keep it positive, people that are
not
getting
Swagger.
To their, like, reaching their potential, right?
Okay.
People that are okay with being mediocre. Then
right.
to a certain level, you know, you're going to be comfortable with it. Water finds its own, you know, it finds its level. So I've always tried to be around people that are better than me in every, I mean, in every facet of life, whether it's financially, whether it's artistically, you know, spiritually. I want to get better, and I feel like you have to surround yourself with people that are like that. You know what I mean? Because it always makes you, you're always going to be learning something. I mean, like, for instance, each to me, I don't, she probably doesn't realize this, but is a mentor, and in fact, in as far as
entrepreneurial?
Yeah,
you're
there,
like,
you go.
Reading is fundamental.
Hey, there it is. See, I should have been reading and writing like you, and writing down all these notes and songs.
I'd
be able to say entrepreneurial. See, so no, but it's important to have people that are positive, but that are always moving. You know what I mean? Like, they're not doing the same thing. Like, this week they're doing this, next week they're doing that. Not that they're, you know, that they're a quitter or whatever, but they're always just moving, and they're, you know, they're just go-getters. I love people like that, especially people that are just positive, but always keeping God first. So it's not, you know, so it reminds me that first my core value of having, you know, God in my life, but that I don't have to, it's not just me being lazy and sitting around like, oh, God is going to bless me. No, because I have mentors around me, people that are actually moving 24/7, doing different things. And I'm like, God, I need to keep up.
Right.
So mentors are important. Get you a mentor. You can Google it.
Exactly.
Get one. I think they got them on Craigslist.
I will say, in regards to getting a mentor, there's this, like, interesting, I guess, phenomenon going around in college. Maybe it's old. I don't know, but as I get older, I realize it a little bit more, but everyone wants, especially in college, everyone seems to want the label, like, of a mentor. Everyone wants to tell people what to do, in a sense, and I feel like we had a panel discussion about this, I think, last week, about what is true leadership, and are we just leading each other, leading the blind, or, like, how can you effectively, like, how can you help me reach my potential if you're not, like, you know, striving to do the same thing within yourself. So I think also when choosing a mentor, you have to look at what is their incentive for wanting to lead you. Is it because they want something to put on their resume, or is it something that I helped you get to point B, or, you know. So you have to also look at that. And, you know, true mentorship, you don't necessarily need, hey, you're my mentor now. It could just be a genuine friend, like we've been saying earlier.
Absolutely, because you can really ask any successful person on the face of the planet, and mentors don't have to have the title mentor, like you said, but basically what a mentor is, in a sense, is just someone who believes in you. And it's so that's such a powerful thing. It's just to have, whether it's a parent, a friend, a teacher, just anyone in your life who believes in you and believes in your goals, that will set you on a successful path. Because, you know, of course, being, you know, feeling a sense of accomplishment comes from within. You need to, you know, feel it yourself. But it does help a little bit when someone's like,
right.
you know, or you should definitely go for that, because you are talented enough to achieve that. And I believe in you, girl. Like, I believe in you. You know what I mean? So it helps. Sometimes we need a cheerleader in life, because no one wants to, like, walk through this world alone, because it's scary.
I agree.
Scary. But if you have someone that's like, you know what, you could do this. And, you know, even for me personally, and a story for me is that definitely a couple of believers, I will say, for me, I mean, I would definitely say my husband, and I would also say one of my first bosses, which is a video director named Dave Myers. He definitely gave me a lot of courage. Yeah, that I didn't know I had. You know, he was just like, you could do this, and I'm going to give you this responsibility. And I'm like, are you sure about that? Because I don't know if I can do this. And he would be like, you got it. I trust you. I believe in you. I have faith in you. And that was just, like, so empowering because I'm like, wow, if someone that I admire, someone that I look up to has faith in me, more faith than I even have in myself, well, I need to find some faith in me quick because, you know, obviously he must see something. Like, he's a genius, you know. And same thing, you know, goes for my husband. He definitely was just, like, the type of person to be like, oh, if this is not working for you, then do this. Like, don't be afraid to switch things up or change things or, you know, just try new things out because you never know what is going to be monumental for you, what is going to break boundaries. So never get stuck in one area. If you're doing something for a long period of time and you're superior, your supervisor, your boss, whatever, does not believe in you, it's definitely time to make a change because you have to find another path because they would be blocking you. They're going to be blocking your success if they don't believe in you. So some people are very afraid to shift gears in life because they're like, I got, you know, responsibilities. I'm not trying to lose my job. I'm not trying to, like, just go out and try to find a new gig. Like, but sometimes, you know, especially when you're young, this is why it's so important especially when you're young, when you have the freedom to move and shake, when you don't have children, when you don't have, you know, financial responsibilities, that is the time to be the most fearless. That is really the time to just go after.
I wrote it down.
Yes.
I wrote
do
that
not
down.
Hesitate. When it comes to, you know, leaping, because at this, especially at that age, your wings will definitely just appear when you take a leap because it's like you don't have nothing else to worry about. It's just you. You know what I mean? You make a mistake, pick yourself back up, keep moving.
And that's awesome. So, like right now, if I say I want to be a clown and work in a circus, that's going to be kind of tough. I got a family, so all of a sudden be like, hey, boo, I don't want to go to work no more. I'm going to go juggle. I've been practicing in the basement. You didn't know, but that's where all the fruit was downstairs. I've been juggling. So I'm going to go do that. Yeah, you can't do it at that time. So it's not going to be an easy sale.
Mm-hmm.
But look, so habit number two is beginning with the end in mind and includes defining your mission and goals in life. According to the book, all things are created twice, first mentally, second physically. So do you think writing down a goal helps one achieve it? You mentioned that you did that, but do you think it was intentional, like this is definitely what it is and that you stuck to that plan, or do you believe, like you said, because you put it down, like you were just geared that way?
I feel like whenever you say something or write it down, you do set an intention. You see what I mean? Like, even back to the house thing, I remember when, you know, my husband and I first started dating, and we just used to like to go to open houses. We're nerdy like that. We just thought it was cool. Like, hey, let's just go to open houses and just look at them, just to be inspired. Because a lot of times when you set in your mind, like, oh, I could never live like this, or I'm never going to be able to afford that, then you've pretty much said to the universe that you're never going to get that, and you're never going to be able to afford that. But we would set intentions in life like, hey, I may not be able to get this house right now, but I'm going to look at it. I'm going to see how amazing it is. I'm going to learn about how much it costs and what it takes to get it, because when I leave there that day, I might be so inspired to work a little harder the next day might be motivated to come up with a new goal or idea that would set me on a path to get that house or get that car or help that person. You have to constantly, like, be motivated, and the only way to do that is to experience new things, to, you know, dream big, to speak loudly, think out loud. You know what I mean? That's the only way that you're going to truly be able to set yourself on a path to where you want to be. If you keep yourself locked in your neighborhood, you never leave, you never experience, you know, what else the world has to offer, then how can you ever achieve those things? How could you know which direction you need to go to get there? I feel like a motivational speaker when I'm not.
Please do, because I'm writing everything down. I just can't write quick enough. Can you, like, give me a note or a lesson on how to,
Isha was trained in writing stuff down, so she could teach you.
Well, guess what, guys? The show is recorded.
Tunnel.
It's recorded. You don't have to write anything down. Let's do it when the show wraps at 9 o'clock.
Well, that
kind of
goes to my... That kind of goes to my next thing with about, you know, it's not really then a myth. I mean, you by writing it down, well, I'll take that back. So you put that, you wrote that down, but but it wasn't, and you, like you said, it's out in the universe, and that's kind of like, it kind of geared you that way. But are there not also times where you have to write some things down, like some steps? Say, if I want to go to, if I want to be a lawyer, there's certain steps. I gotta go to college. I'm gonna have to go to law school. I'm gonna need, you know, a certain degree to do that. So, for you, do you always think it's? I mean, do you think it should be taken a step further, where I need to write down stuff in detail, like this is what I need to do if I'm gonna, whatever the case is, and have steps, like an outline of.
You should definitely, you know, some steps may be, you know, intentional, some may be unintentional, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes you may write down a step and end up skipping a step because you had another opportunity, or you, or one step just doesn't make sense any longer. So sometimes, you know, in life you can't really plan too much. It's good to plan, but sometimes, you know, curveballs get thrown in there, here and there, but it's good to kind of have some direction so that you at least know where you're going to get to the end goal. Like, you know, to just write a paper and not do an outline is kind of crazy, because it's like, where are you going with this? Like, what's going to be, what are you talking about first, second, third? You know, it's better to kind of plan it out first, and then along that journey, you may switch up along the way, but at least you have a clear guide on where you're trying to go, so that you're not all over the place.
Yeah, that works, and I guess I've been kind of the opposite in some aspects. Like when it comes to, sad to say, writing a paper or writing a script, depending on what it is, you know what I mean. I do like the surprises that come along. I feel like if I have, if the outline is too strict, it limits, you know, to where I can go. But as in regards to goals, like you said, I think it is important. And just looking back at some of the things that I've wanted to do, even in the past year, when I was actually able to put down, this is what I'm going to need to do to get this done or whatever, it does kind of help you stay on task, which actually brings me to my next question. So what are some other ways, concrete ways, that we can all stay on track achieving our goals? Like, I mean, as we mentioned, the outline or whatever, and just having that. But are there other things that you do, certain, like, you know, like milestones or certain points that you should have hit by this time to reach the goal that either you know, or you, Bree? Yeah, Bree.
Well, I feel like it all starts with, I'm such a nerd, but I feel like it all starts with a planner. Like, so ever since like middle school, we were required to have planners, and then in high school we were required to, and then college, of course, we're not required to, but it's kind of like a practice habit, a habit that kind of like transferred from year to year. But like, even a simple one, I can't talk today, y'all. What's going on? Even as simple as writing down you want to complete an assignment by a certain day, or you want to complete it earlier than expected, you know, writing it down and then being able to cross that off, I feel like that's a great example of, like, practicing goals. It all starts with writing it down, obviously. I guess that's the theme of this of tonight's show, is, like, writing things down. But I feel like it can be as simple as having a planner and, like, if you notice, some of the planners, well, all the planners go into the summer months, and some kids just throw their planners away, but instead, you know, keep it and plan out your summer, or plan out, oh, I want to start a blog this summer. Oh, I want to, you know, start a fitness club for the next upcoming school year. Like, keeping your planner and using it into the summer months, I feel like can also help you in regards to achieving your goals. I just got so happy, y'all, looking at my planner, like, I'm talking fast, getting excited.
Well, I gotta add to that. Like, we've been talking about writing stuff down all the time, but you can write and write and write till you can't write anymore. But if you can't keep promises with yourself, or if you can't be honest with yourself, everything you wrote down is like a bunch of gibberish. Like, it won't even matter. You have to definitely be honest with yourself and keep promises with yourself in order for the things you write down to actually get completed. I know, tell me, raise your hand if this is you. Like, your alarm clock goes off in the morning, and you know you need to be up at 7, but you're like, let me just hit that snooze button just one more time because I can still make it. If I have to sleep 10 more minutes, I'll still be good, right? But you've already started off your day breaking a promise to yourself. And you know how, like, once you've done it one time throughout the day, it can almost spiral in essence. It's like now you are a little bit later getting ready, and now you're rushing and you're frustrated and flustered, you know, trying to grab something to eat really quick. So now you're eating something poorly when you promised yourself the day before that you would eat better. And then now you're late to work because, you know, the lady at the drive-thru at McDonald's took too long and she messed up your change. And it's like your whole day is messed up because you couldn't keep promises to yourself because you messed up with the first one. You weren't honest and you didn't even wake up on time. So when you do write something down.
So when you turn into a life coach, though, I'm just saying, I'm over here feeling depressed. I'm like, dang, I need to get my life together. I'm like, geez, I done messed up. So you're telling me I've screwed myself already because I wanted to sleep 5 minutes? Jeez.
But I'm telling you, it is so true. You have to make that commitment, and we have to be mature enough to say to ourselves, like, you know what, I'm going to make a goal for myself, and I'm going to stick to it because I am worth it. You know what I mean? So you have to definitely make that promise to yourself that when I do say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it because I'm going to make myself accountable. I'm not going to wait for anyone else to tell me to do it. I'm going to do it myself because I'm on a mission, and my mission is to be great. And once you can finally be mature enough to get to that point, then, you know, that's when the success comes in. That's really truly the asset that most successful people have. They keep promises to themselves. If they say that they're going to work out 6 days a week, they're going to work out 6 days a week. They don't care what happened. They don't care if it's raining outside. They don't care if, you know, their best friend's dog died. They are going to do whatever they promise to themselves because they know that in order to get to where they need to be, they have to complete that first step and then complete that second step. So, be honest with yourself.
I agree.
The best friends. Okay, from the folding clothes to being the best clothes folder. The best friend's dog dying is gonna stop me. So you've hit me with some curveballs tonight.
So the third habit is putting things first. So I'm always talking about prioritizing for the prize, you know, patience, perseverance. Call me a fan of alliteration, I know. But what are some ways that busy students or people in general can get organized, besides planners like myself?
Some ways they can get organized. Phone apps. Let's be digital, man. Get on the phone.
Yeah,
calendar.
Phone
apps.
Calendars.
And even iCal, like, even if you just have, like, if you have an iPhone, the calendar option on iPhone, it syncs with my iPad, it syncs with my laptop and my phone, and so I'm always, like, getting alerts. Like, I could be looking at my phone, and it's like, boom, 9 o'clock, you're supposed to be working out. My computer says, you're supposed to be working out. My iPad says, I'm supposed to be working out. I'm like, all right, I'm supposed to be working out. All right, I get it.
Is that how you yell at it?
Yeah.
I'm like, gosh, I feel like somebody's just, like on me. Like, get off my neck. So definitely use technology because it will definitely keep you on track. Just make sure that you put everything in and map out your day. Like, be your own boss. Be a CEO. Like, don't just kind of, like, be willy-nilly about your day. Like, well, I guess I would do it this time, then I do this. Like, you should, on a Sunday, know what you're doing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, like, already. I mean, like, down to the
hour. Yeah.
Like, really plan it out. Be like, I have in my calendar, I'm like, 2 o'clock, take a nap. You know what
I
mean? Like,
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Are you serious? You have nap time?
Yeah.
But I will say that is kind of harmful in a sense. Because for me, I plan out my naps, and I feel like I get so mad at myself when I miss something, and I'm like, my whole day is just ruined. Like, it's just, I can't even do anything anymore. I can't function because it's all just ruined. I missed my nap. But yeah, I do that too.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. It's really important to definitely plan your day out. Like, you should know, hey, sorry, oh, you want me to go do what at 2 o'clock? Sorry, I got to take a nap. But at 4 o'clock,
oh, sorry.
I am free. Yeah, and I will be available to you. So, yeah, that's how you can stay organized. Use your phone. Okay, so the next few habits are more on the public victory side that I mentioned earlier. Now, habit number four is think win-win. And this is truly the downfall of many people because they always think win-lose. How can I be better than the next person? How can I, you know, outdo the next person? But, like, why do you have to outdo anyone? Why can't we all win? There's enough pie for everyone. Like, you don't have to eat it all. All right? So we need
to. I was wondering how you're
going
to bring that home. I like it. You brought that home rather nicely. Pie.
Now, if everyone can just, you know, adopt that, you know, everyone can win attitude, you'll be in a whole other level. So, but let's face reality. How easy or difficult do you really think that is?
I'm feeling the sting. I felt the sting recently. Yeah, it is hard. It's definitely hard, especially like I brag on my school a lot, but we're number one in the first number one school of journalism, blah, 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 blah. So, like, you should see the tension around here when it comes to, like, applying for internships and scholarships. Like, people will, like, almost rip your head off because it's that serious. And, like, there's so much competition. And actually, I'm the only black girl, I believe, in the magazine writing program that would graduate in 2016. I'm the only one in my class left. So the competition in that realm is not, you know, it's not as stiff, I guess. But, you know, overall, we're all competing for the same thing. So it's really hard to balance, like, being truly happy for your friend and, you know, wanting to get there also. So I can attest to it being difficult. I agree. It is hard. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think, as a man, we are naturally, you know, competitive in everything. But here, I guess, being in Nashville, there's a music city where everybody, their mama, their cousin, and their dog does music. It's just naturally competitive. So the same person you're seeing getting studio time, you'll mess around and see them do a show, and it's like you wanna be the one people are asking about or whatever. But like you said, Ish, I think if you're constantly building everyone around you, including yourself, what it's like, there's enough, like, everybody, there's people can like your music and the next person's music, just like someone can hire you for a job, just like they can hire your friend for a job. So there is enough, there's enough pie for everyone. The hardest thing is just actually putting that in your mind, having that mindset that, hey, I don't have to do this to, you know, I don't have to hate on the next man or whatever. Now we can all win. That's a hard thing. I'm not even going to act like that's the easy thing because I'm not lying. If I see someone on stage and I'm going up after them singing, I'm like, I'm going to smash them. They are done. Oh, for real. Maybe that's bad. I never really thought of, you know, that was a bad thing. I always thought that was kind of a good thing to want to be better, but I can see how that can, you know, go the other way. And like he said, I want pie. Everybody wants the pie.
Everybody wants the pie.
Now, Moiba, I know you and I, we both played basketball. And so this is a good story when it comes to, like, win-lose mentality or win-win. I know, you know, even from, like, my freshman year, I got on the varsity team because of my speed. And I always, like, knew that was, like, my strength, right? I'm like, just be really fast, play defense, take the ball, just take the ball. That's all you got to do. Then you pass it. But a lot of girls, you know, on the team, or even guys on any basketball team, they can become very competitive in a way that, like, oh, I want to score the most points. You know, I'm the star of the team, so make sure I got the ball all the time. And really, that doesn't win games. You know what I mean? Like, winning games is truly playing together as a team, wanting each of your teammates to have a chance to score. You know, I have. I also, this past winter, I coached basketball for 5- and 6-year-olds. And I truly learned the value of win-win when it comes to that, because there was, like, one girl on the team. She was, like, incredible. This girl is 6 years old, but I'm like, how do you dribble so good? Like, it's not even fair. Like, you are so dope. She would, like, fly down the court. She'd be shooting, like, she would score, like, 12 or 16 points a game. She's 6, y'all. She's 6. Now.
Wow.
When we got, I realized after a while that even though I was so excited to see her do so well, to me, it started to become more exciting when I would see her, like, get an assist and pass it to someone who doesn't score often, and they would score. Like, that was, like, the best feeling, period.
Yeah.
Like, just to see her helping someone else achieve their goal. So that doesn't explain it any better. Like, that's truly the essence of win-win. When you can help someone get to where they want to be, it just fills you up even more. And then that's when everyone's winning. So.
It kind of goes along with the shine theory. Have you guys heard of the shine theory?
No, what's that?
No.
Okay, so the shine theory was developed by Anne Friedman and Amina Tso. Amina Tso was actually on the 30 under 30 list, on Forbes 30 under 30 list in technology, I believe. I don't remember what year. I feel like it was 2013. And Anne Friedman, she's a freelance writer, but she's been an editor for major magazines and papers and stuff like that. So they're best friends, and they teamed up together. They met each other in a weird way, but anyway, they met at a watch party, I believe, in New York City. They told us a story when they came and presented, but they're best friends, and they adopted this theory called the shine theory, which is basically like, you know, I don't shine if you don't shine. So, you know, it's getting a collective of boss babes and great women together who can all benefit each other in some way or another, and, you know, sharing that information and empowering and lifting up one another instead of, you know, doing the opposite, which, you know, sometimes society encourages us to do. So, you know, they're all for the betterment of women and sticking together, and if you see this resource over here that could help me, hey, I'm going to send you that link, or, you know, just keeping in touch with each other and building those connections with women, because, you know, we're not up there as far as we should be in regards to the CEOs of companies and the leaders that we ought to be. So instead of, you know, bashing each other and there can only be one winner, there can only be one lady in this boardroom, you know, we're encouraging young ladies to strive to be in the room together. So
wow,
I'm a fan of the shine theory.
I'm definitely going to use that, the shine theory, yeah. Hey, I saw this on Instagram earlier. True leaders don't, what is it, acquire followers, or true leaders develop future other leaders. I'm totally probably messing that up, but you get the gist. It's basically.
I was like, what?
I was like, wait, can you screenshot it? Can you send it to me?
I know. Wait, maybe I did screenshot it. Let me take a look.
I was like, true leaders don't have followers. What they leading,
like,
man? I didn't understand. I was like, okay.
Wait, it's something about, like, true. Wait, I'm totally going to find this, and I'll definitely share it with you guys towards the end of the show.
That's okay. So the fifth habit, I'm going to move on. I'm just going to slide right into the fifth habit. The fifth habit is to seek first to understand, then to be understood. So, you know, this can definitely be a challenge, I know, since it's so hard to sincerely listen to others when there's a conflict. We often, listen with the intent to apply rather than with the intent to understand. So how can we all strive to become better, effective listeners, and what does that actually mean?
What'd you say?
I wasn't listening.
Oh, yeah, I weren't listening. Oh, okay.
All that. So it's, you know what? I think a lot of times I'm guilty of this or whatever. Sometimes we listen just so we can hurry up and say what we got to say. Mm-hmm. So you really didn't listen. You know what I mean? I know that I do that, like if I'm arguing or whatever, and the person, or if I'm at work and we're having a discussion or whatever, it's like, well, let me finish my point. I'm like, okay. And I'm totally planning what I'm going to say, so I've missed out everything the other person is probably really saying to me, so I can actually get. And chances are, if I actually really just stopped and actually listened, that means, I think listening, that means not having the thought of what I'm going to say already. You know what I mean? It's like actually listening, then processing that information to respond. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I agree.
You were looking for that post, leaders that don't have followers. Oh,
no, I found it, actually, since I wasn't listening. I did find it. It says,
well, there we have it.
The quote is,
we think?
True leaders don't create followers. They create more leaders.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, you get a pass for not listening in for that.
So, I know you guys have been well-versed in the professional world for many years. I'm striving to get into the professional world after college.
You ain't got to say it like that. Don't age me like that. I mean, I'm just saying, y'all got it. You heard the accent she put on, though. She was like this. I know you guys have been in professional years for many years.
Exactly.
I was like,
I'm just
dang.
Saying that y'all got it down pat, you know. Cool. So how do y'all deal with conflict in the professional settings? I know you have to work with people, you know, that don't really rub you the right way all the time. I know I do it. I have to work in group projects. But how do you guys deal with conflict? And is agreeing to disagree truly an option?
Yes, it is.
I believe you
because
have to listen.
I actually was faced with this recently.
Oh, man.
I have to do a woosah. But I'm always trying to create more leaders, right? That's just what I do in my nature. It makes me happy. I'm always willing to help others. And I was in a situation recently where I was doing just that. And the way that I was, in my mind, hopefully encouraging and uplifting someone else, they realized that I was doing that, but they didn't like the way that I did it. And that kind of like rubbed me the wrong way because I was like, I didn't see any negative intention or malice in anything that I did. It was just came from the heart of being happy for the person and doing something that I thought was, you know, good to recognize them, but they thought that I was doing something else, and it was like, you know what? Let's just agree to disagree. You don't understand where I'm coming from. I don't understand where you're coming from, and that's fine. I'll just, whatever I did, let's just take it away. So it kind of ended mm-hmm. like that, but not in a mm-hmm. very positive way because it was more so like it just didn't end positively. And that's another thing that I will say for everyone who is listening. It is so key. Really, to be successful, the main key to success is your relationships, and never, ever, ever, ever take advantage of that or disregard that because especially in a business where the world's very, like, you know, the population of people is just very small, you always want to not have any enemies or you don't want to burn any bridges because one bridge can mean you burn mm-hmm. 1,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So be very, very careful of that. Always try to resolve an issue in the best way as possible and always seek to understand and not always to be understood.
A lot of times you just
want to be understood, like, hey, I said this, don't you get this? But you never stop to say, wait, let me see where you're coming from. Oh, mm-hmm. okay, now I understand why you did that. Because typically people's intentions are really never – well, some people can have bad intentions, but most of the time people are coming from a good place. We don't take the time to understand where they're coming from. We just jump to conclusions, and then because all we care about is our point of view and what we want. You know what I mean? So then it ends up just you just, you know, burning a bridge. That's not really cool.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm so sad.
Actually, great.
I just looked at the clock. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, I do want to hit this last one. Habit number 6 is to synergize, working together to achieve more. That kind of culminates what you guys have been the last couple points we talked about. First of all, working with each other, and the shine mentality in that bringing each other up. So I know you all have had to, you know, work next to some people that aren't the easiest. Just like, you know, we all have, and I think that's what point you just made, Ish, as far as trying to help someone or whatever and them not receiving it well, that's a perfect example of pretty much mm-hmm. having to suck it up and keep going.
Right. Absolutely.
I agree. Working together. Get more accomplished.
I think we work together.
Yeah, I think we work it.
Working together, we can bring this information to other people and hopefully inspire them to then go out and inspire other people. So, let's go to the last habit because this one is so important and many of us do not work on this, And it's all about sharpening the saw. And this means having the time for yourself and to renew yourself regularly. People who are very successful, very driven, tend to sometimes only just focus on their goals way too much. It's like, all right, we know you want to be this, you want to be that. But it's like you can't stick yourself in a room and write all day just because you want to be, you know, the editor of Vogue. You know, you have got to feed your soul, you know, from time to time, whether it's, you know, exercising, going to church or reading a book or just spending time with your friends and meeting new people. I don't know if you guys watch Oprah Winfrey's Super Soul Sunday, but she had Brian Grazer on, who is one of Hollywood's biggest producers. He actually did terrible in school. He was a horrible student. And the only reason why he became the only reason why he became successful is because he was a curious person. He always wanted to learn more. He always wanted to meet new people. He used to actually, like, make pacts with himself, like, I'm going to meet a new person every single day. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to find out about them. And that gave him, like, a new perspective on life, you know, just to be able to hear about other people's lives and what they're going through. And it made him not be so one-dimensional. He started to take on, you know, the lives of other people and the attributes of other people, also remaining true to himself, but being curious, being, like, having the courage to, like, talk to others and push forward and be fearless, you know, it opened up so many doors for him because so many people knew this guy. Like, imagine if you met and spoke to a different person every single day. Imagine that. Like, so many people would know who you are. So many people would be connected to you. Opportunities would just start falling in your lap because people would meet you and be like, you know this person here? Like, you should totally connect with this person because they could help you do this because, you know what I mean? So definitely I'm going to start. I mean, I do talk to a lot of people. I find myself talking. Really, I find random people talking to me. I have one of those faces. Like, I just walk down the street and people are like, hey, or they want to ask me for directions or people tell me their life stories. I don't know. I just look like the type of person that could just hold all that in, or I have a good ear, be a good listener. I don't know what it is, but they hold me captive all the time. But the good thing about that is that I'm able to meet a lot of people. But I want to challenge not only myself, but everyone listening to do that starting tomorrow. Just like, don't be afraid to say hi to someone that you're sitting next to on the bus. You know what I mean? Talk to them.
Or smile.
They look a little weird. Maybe not. But if they look like they might be a serial killer, then just change seats.
Do not do anything.
But if they look approachable, you know, talk to them. You know, talk to your teachers on a different level, not just about your assignments, whatever. Really get to know them. It could be one of the truly most enriching things you ever do because you may end up, you know, getting inspired in ways, in unimaginable ways. So I'm challenging everyone to do that.
I need to do that.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
And taking me time, exercise. If you tell yourself you're going to exercise, do it. You know, always be a student. Never stop learning. You know, when I found myself doing this, like, after I graduated from college, I was, like, doing the shmoney dance. Like, it wasn't out yet. It wasn't out then. But in my mind, I was doing the shmoney dance, like, oh, God, school is over. I don't have to read another book. I don't have to do. But I quickly realized that, yeah, you do, because the world is changing so often, and you have constantly got to be educating yourself,
always
constantly being inspired. Read, 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 always. And not only just read, try new things. Pick up a new, you know, learn how to cook. Do something. Just do something.
Yes, learn how to cook. Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. Your pork chops is going to be, you know, it's going to be
I don't
want to
talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
I apologize.
I'm in a bad place. I got to say this, though. Tonight, I think this is really, this is not just, this is for everybody. I know it's called Teen Diaries, but everything that, all the information that was shared tonight, I think it's important for anybody trying to be successful, really at any age in life. You can change, you know what I mean? Like, so if you've been the person that's been always stuck in a rut and always, you know, not sticking to your guns about, you know, things that you've set in your life that you want to do, I think these tips are helpful. I definitely, with the alarm clock thing, tomorrow, first thing, I'm really going to do that. Because it makes so much sense. I know I was kidding about it earlier, but I never thought about how that could just snowball the rest of my day into not keeping the things that I said. And you're absolutely right. I don't know how many times I've done that. Well, I mean, literally, my alarm clock probably has a dent in it from where I just turn around and go boom and hit it, like for the snooze button. And then you get up, you know, you're running late. And so I think that just that tip alone of starting the day right, you know, says it speaks volumes, and I think it could help a lot of people. But a lot of these tips, I'm definitely glad that we did this tonight. And I hope people are listening, and if they are listening, make sure that they, you know, all these shows that we do, people can listen to these shows. So y'all make sure y'all go to Teen Diary and check them out, because it's important. We're not just up here blowing smoke. We got stuff to say.
We do, and it's great tips and advice and greatness.
Yeah, like, you could be the best clothes folder ever.
Yep, you
in
sure
life.
Can. And your best friend's dog could die, and you could still keep your promises to yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope you all learned so much from our discussion tonight. Not only can you listen to this episode again, but definitely I highly suggest going to pick up Sean Covey's book, Seven Habits of Effective Teens, or Seven Effective Teens. Like, what, did I mess this up? What's the title of the book?
It's a book with seven habits. Just get it.
Seven Habits of Effective Teens. I messed it up.
Yes.
But
what she said. What she said.
Get
the book,
and
even if you can't afford the book. Sean, yeah. Yes, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective Teens. And if you cannot, like, afford the book right now, go on your phone and just read the summary. The summary just tells you all you need to know really quickly, all right? So, yeah, that's our show. Let's do some birthdays.
Yeah.
Okay. Tonight is my birthday. Tonight is my birthday. Tonight is my birthday when I party like that.
Birthdays. April 20th, actor Shamar Moore, light-skinned. You know who he is. He'll be 45. Actress Carmen Electra will be 43. April 21st, Mindless Behavior singer Jacob Perez. We actually interviewed him right here on this show. Will be 19. Yeah. Queen Elizabeth II will be 89. Jeez. Football player Tony Romo, quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, will be 35. And Mr. Beast Mode himself on April 22nd, Marshawn Lynch will be 29. DJ Drama, will be 37. Actress Sherry Shepherd will be 48. April 23rd, comedian George Lopez will be 54. April 24th, singer Kelly Clarkson will be 33. Actor and comedian Cedric the Entertainer will be 51. On April the 25th, actor Al Pacino, you know him as Scarface. You got to post. You probably never seen the movie, youngins. We'll be 75. My God, are you serious? It's got to be
That's
wrong. We got to look at that. I refuse to believe
That's
he is deaf. Oh, Lord. Okay. His Medicare. Okay, never mind. He's 75. Basketball player Tim Duncan for the San Antonio Spurs. Mr. Fundamental will be 39 on April 25th. April 26th. Magic Mike himself, Channing Tatum, will be 35. Actor and martial arts expert Jet Li will be 52. Rapper Tion, don't go chasing waterfalls, will be 45. R&B singer Avant will be 37. And those are your birthdays for this week.
What? Wait, Avant can't only be 37. I don't believe it.
Nope.
I don't believe it.
Don't be Asian people, Asia.
I'm sorry.
According to my sources, these numbers are correct, y'all. I swear.
Al Pacino is not 75.
Yes, my sources say he will be 75. My sources never lie. My sources are secret and they never lie.
Okay. Well, folks, our 2015 Team Reporter and Pretty Girl Sweat ambassador searches end Monday, June 1st. So you got some time, but make sure you don't delay. If you want to join our dream team, visit teendiaries.net/reporter. diaries.net/PGS ambassador to get details about both of these incredible programs and to download an application ASAP and then apply today. All right? Because you got to be in it to win it. All right? As always, thanks for listening to TD Radio. We hope you set the stage for success with all of us. And be sure to tune in next time. Until then, follow us on Twitter at Teen Diaries, at Moi Bay KMO, and at Mouthing Off Blog. And as always, remember to stay young, stay fly, stay unique, and stay fabulous. We're out.
Boom!
TD Radio.